Live. I'm live. I don't have a Wii today. Eric's not here. He is traveling. And so it's just me and you kids. But I'm scared to be alone. So I did bring a friend with me. And so we'll bring her on in a second. But yeah, thanks for coming on. It's Monday. It's 7:30. It's time to settle in for the evening to start your week off right. Maybe it's Tuesday morning and maybe you're just starting your run this morning. And we're going to talk about fun things because that's what we do here. And I have had, I got to do a rhyme. I have to do a rhyme because of Eric not being here. Here's my rhyme. I asked ChatGPT because I can't write rhymes like he does. It's reptile chat with Gina so slick, cold-blooded laughs in episode 136. Bam. That's it. So I'm going to have Gina on because she's my most requested guest. I feel like people meet Gina one time and they become her best friend. And everybody thinks Gina is awesome after the first time they meet her. So we're going to have her on the show. We'll recap the weekend first. Chris, I got to see you this weekend. It was the young aid station. This past weekend, got to do some fun at Jim Thorpe. If you've never been to Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, it is a super cute little town. And you can get a shuttle and they will take you down to the rail trail down like 25 miles away and you can ride into town and it's a 2% grade downhill, which is lovely. And Jim Thorpe has a big fall fest. It's a beautiful time to go and it's a lot of fun. So we did that Saturday with friends. And then Sunday I went to run Green Monster. I attempted to run Green Monster 50K and there were some challenges. There were challenges that happened on the course. There were a few of us who missed a turn. And so I ended up running the 25K, which turned into 25 miles. And I'm just so thankful that Laura was with me, Laura Lidacker, because I feel like she made it a good time. We did cut the course accidentally, realized that we cut the course. And so we backtracked, but it added an additional 8 miles. What are you going to do? It happens. So I still had a good time and Laura and I had fun. And then I drove 3 hours home and now we're here. So that was the weekend. And now I'm going to bring on Gina. Again, most requested guest is Gina. We got to, if you haven't met her yet, you're about to. So Gina, hold on. Let me unmute you there. Now you're unmuted. Welcome to the show. Did you know that you were the most requested guest?
I didn't, and now I'm really nervous.
No, don't be. Everybody's going to be so excited to hear from you. So, Gina, you started trail running how long ago?
Really last year, 2024.
Yeah. So 2024, I met you at Blazing Saddles.
Yep.
And the conversation went something like, hey, you kind of seem cool. Do you want a trail run?
Yeah, basically.
And then you said yes. And then we went to Leg Destroyer.
We did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it the next day or like the next weekend we went to Leg Destroyer?
It was the next weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And you just so you've been trail running for like a year and a half and you just got first female at Wild Goose 36 hour. Yeah.
36. Yep.
Yeah. And you got first female. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
That was pretty awesome. And I feel like a lot of people know you and send you messages all the time because you are well known for having many, many reptiles.
Yes, that's true.
So when we were running today, I was trying to figure out, I said, I made a comment. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing for the podcast tonight. And you were there and we're like, hey, you could be on. Oh, Julia said it. She's like, you should have Gina on. Again, people keep recommending. So we'll talk about reptiles today because that'll be fun.
Okay.
How many, can you list all of your animals?
Every single one?
Well, okay, let's start. So let's start with, you have dogs.
Yes, three dogs.
Okay, three dogs. You have cats.
Two cats.
Okay. How many snakes?
Ten.
Ten snakes currently?
Yes, currently.
Okay. And you have tortoises?
Yes, six tortoises.
Okay. And turtles?
Yep, I have five turtles, aquatic okay. turtles.
Okay, and what else?
Geckos. I say 17 geckos, and I count the mourning geckos as one unit because they're small geckos, micro geckos, some people call them, and they reproduce parthenogenically. So
what does that mean?
So basically, they clone themselves.
What?
Yeah. So they'll just lay an egg. So. That's why I say I include them as one unit because there's just always babies. So
so they're like the Borg?
Basically, yeah. Kind of. Okay.
Like we are gecko?
Yes, yeah. That's morning geckos.
Okay. What else do you have?
Dart frogs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dark frogs?
Dart frogs.
Oh, dart frogs.
Yeah,
okay.
Poison dart frogs. They're not poisonous in captivity, though. So they get the poison from the food they eat out in the wild. So they eat, like, venomous spiders and things. At least this is the leading theory, is that. So once you breed them in captivity, like, the first generation doesn't have the poison, so.
Oh, okay. If I eat poison and then... have children. Will my children be poisonous?
I don't know how it works in humans, but that's how okay. it seems to work with dart frogs.
Okay. So we like to have conversations about your animals out on the trail. And that's how I learned about plastrons.
Yes.
Okay. Because you were talking about plastrons and I don't remember why.
Yeah, we were talking about turtles and I was explaining the different shell. So the top shell on a turtle is called the carapace, and then the lower shell is called the plastron.
Yeah. So
like the belly area is the plastron.
This is my plastron, like right
yes,
here.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So I want to rub my plastron. This is what I do.
Yes.
Okay. So what is the difference? All right, wait, what did we see out on the trail today? We saw a frog or a toad.
A toad. We saw an American toad. Yep.
Okay. What's the difference between, you don't have any toads, right?
I don't keep any as pets. No.
Okay. So you only have frogs. What's the difference between a toad and a frog?
Kind of the same with turtles and tortoises. So all tortoises are turtles, but not all turtles are tortoises. So all toads are frogs, but not all frogs are toads.
So if I call, wait, all toads are frogs. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I call everything a frog, I'm correct.
Basically. Yeah. Just like if you say, yes. Call my tortoise a turtle, you'd be correct. Technically.
Okay. So this is good to know.
Yep.
How can you tell the difference between them?
Frogs normally have webbed, well, not always, but and the frogs around here would have more webbed feet and they looked more, toads are more bumpy is probably the easiest way. For the most part. Then there's like the Eastern spadefoot toad that we have around here, which is kind of like a toad frog It looks more like a frog, but it's a toad. You'll see that with some toads. They just look more like frogs, but they're classified as toads.
I feel like I identify as a toad because I'm definitely more lumpy and bumpy.
Yeah. Yeah, most of the toads, the most common you'll see around here in Pennsylvania is the American toad, and they have all the bumps on them, and or even the Fowler's toad you'll see a lot, which has a lot of bumps too. And
okay. So. Yeah, those are my people, or the toads, the toad crew. All right, now something that a lot of people talk about out on the trail is snakes, and you know a lot about snakes, so I feel like you can clear up a lot for us. The United States is huge, so there's going to be vastly different snakes depending on where you are. What snakes should we actually be worried about, if any?
Yeah, so there's only 3 venomous snakes in Pennsylvania. So
wait, we have listeners outside of Pennsylvania though. So we have a lot to cover.
Well, that's too bad. We're going to Pennsylvania. Sorry.
Okay, so only people who live or are going to a race in Pennsylvania, this is for you. Okay. Now, what ones do we worry about here?
So I will say there's a lot of rattlesnakes all over the country. So when I talk about timber rattlesnakes, it's going to apply to most other areas of the country as well.
Okay.
So we have the timber rattlesnake, which is a large venomous rattlesnake that can be found pretty much all throughout the state of Pennsylvania. We also have copperheads, which are venomous, but not as venomous as rattlesnakes. So still, you know, you'd want to get medical attention, but it's not as serious. Rattlesnakes would definitely be more serious than a copperhead. And copperhead, I think, is one of the least venomous snake in the United States. So if they're not the least, they're pretty close to being the least venomous. It's not as, their venom just isn't as bad as others. The other one we have is the Eastern Massasauga, which I think I'm saying that wrong, and I even watched a video to watch pronunciation again, and then I probably am pronouncing it wrong. But they're only out in like the Pittsburgh area. So they're only in the western part of the state, and they're like a pygmy rattlesnake. And
what does that mean? Does that mean little?
They're small. Yeah, they're very small. And I think they're protected in Pennsylvania. There's declining populations.
Like they have bodyguards, really... like
yes, they hire bodyguards. Yeah, you know. The whole thing.
Okay, so like what's the likelihood I'm gonna get bitten by a snake?
So they just did a study, actually. I love referencing this study. I think it was done like this year or last year. There were a bunch of scientists out, I think it was out west, they did this. They had a fake leg, and they would just go, and it had a boot on it, and they would just go around stomping in front of rattlesnakes. Mm-hmm. And they recorded the amount of time the rattlesnake struck at the foot or the leg. And out of 100 times of stomping in front of different rattlesnakes, it was only like five times that a rattlesnake actually struck. And these were different rattlesnakes. So 95% of the time, the rattlesnake did not strike.
Okay.
So it's very rare that they would strike. They're more scared of us than we are of them. And if they do strike, in the case, it could be a bluff strike where they're just kind of not intending to bite, but just kind of scare you. They can also, if you are bitten, it can also be a dry bite, which means they're not actually injecting venom. But it's still good to be aware of your surroundings, but they don't, they're not near as aggressive as people make them out to be.
Okay. So I don't want to get bitten by a rattlesnake, but I shouldn't let that deter me from going out onto the trails.
Exactly. Yeah. If I can tell you, there was a race I did earlier this year at Colonel Denning State Park. And I was at the back of the pack. We were just having, it was Julia, Renee and I, we were having a great time. And I come up to a rock and I see a little snake sticking out. So I'm like, oh, let me go check it out. So like half of the body is out from under the rock, doing what's called cryptic basking, where they have most of their body hidden, but they have a little bit exposed so they can warm up from the sun hitting them. It's really cool. And when I went up closer, it was a baby rattlesnake. So if you think about it, we're at the back of the pack of this race.
Mm-hmm.
This rock is in the middle of the trail.
Mm-hmm.
So 100 and whatever runners ran over this rock,
mm-hmm.
and didn't even know that snake was there.
Yeah. And it was just fine to be in, what was it doing again?
It was just chilling. Like,
but it did, it was doing a thing. What do you call it?
It's called cryptic basking. So,
cryptic basking. So if I want to do cryptic basking, I'm going to partially be under a rock.
So yeah, it could be like you're at the beach, like put a towel over your body and just like stick your leg out.
That's cryptic basking. Okay.
Basically. Yeah.
So maybe if part of me is like under a bench and one leg sticks out.
Yes. You could get really creative with this.
Okay. I feel like this needs to happen. I would love to see cryptic basking photos from here on out. So I'm just putting it out there.
Yes.
I think this is our next high point photo.
That would be great. Yes. Because we have the rocks there. We could get the right angles to expose ourselves to the sun. It's perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Cryptic basking is going to be happening. Yep. Okay. So they're very scared of us. They're probably not going to bite us, but it can happen. So if that happens, it might not even be venomous. Can you tell the difference? Like if you get bit by a snake, are you going to know if it's venomous or not?
Not really. Rattlesnakes are easy to identify because of the rattles. Now they might not always have the rattles because they can fall off.
Why would a rattle fall off?
When they shed, sometimes they'll fall off if they're injured or if they're caught on something. So you can see rattlesnakes without the rattle. It's not terribly uncommon. Like, it's not uncommon. But the other thing they have are keeled scales, which I know if you don't get close, you're not going to be able to see the little keel in the scale. So they don't have
What does that mean? Keel?
Keeled. So they're not smooth. So they're not flat. So if you get close, there's like a ridge in the middle of the scale.
Okay. Yeah, I think my thighs have keeling on them.
I don't know about...
There's some ridges back there. Okay.
But is your question like, how could you tell if it was a dry bite or if they
infected you? Like, can you tell right away or you wouldn't know unless whether you die or not?
Yeah. So if you're bit by what you think is a venomous snake, the best thing to do is get to medical facilities as fast as you can.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean like, you have minutes. And in the case of a rattlesnake, just walk or try to keep your heart rate down as much as you can.
Okay.
And then get, like, if you're out on a race or something, go back. If you need to go back to an aid station or to the next one, whichever one's closer, have them call you an ambulance, get you to the hospital. You should have a good couple of hours. I mean, the faster the better, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like cobra bites like they have in India where it's minutes and seconds count. With rattlesnakes we do have a little bit longer time to get medical attention unless you're allergic, which
that's a thing. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, so you can be allergic to rattlesnake venom or snake venom in general. Normally you are not allergic unless you've been exposed to it before. It's kind of one of those allergies that builds up.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like you can be stung by a bee and then be fine. And then the next time be stung and then have an allergic reaction.
Uh-huh.
It seems to happen with rattlesnakes too. So if it's your first time being bitten, you're normally okay.
Yeah.
But if you're bitten subsequent times, that's when you can start having an allergic reaction. And those can be fatal very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you get bitten twice, like, I mean, you gotta start like doing some kind things for people or something. Like the world is telling you something. I don't know. Karma's not in your favor at that point. Okay.
Yep.
Now, Meg put in the question, definitely put all your questions into the chat because I love learning about this stuff. Plus it makes me feel smarter when I'm out on the trail and I can act like I know what I'm talking about when I talk to other people. But she had put, what do we do if we get bitten by a venomous snake, which we talked about. And then she said, if I get bitten, I'm calling Gina Ruck for assistance. But Meg is literally a nurse practitioner. So I'm kind of confused by that one. But okay, yeah, Meg.
I'm a little worried, Meg. But Meg, since you're a medical professional, what you can do is if you are bitten, if you have a marker or something, circle the area where you are bitten. And then it makes it easier for the medical professionals then to track the swelling. Because that's how they can track how it's traveling.
Yes. And if you have a Sharpie with you, if anybody wants your autograph, you can give your autograph. There's lots of things that you can do with a Sharpie. If you need an emergency tattoo, temporary tattoo, you have a Sharpie.
Yes.
So I feel like a Sharpie should be added to your collection of things that you just bring with you when you run.
Yeah, it should just be in your pack all the time.
Okay. Meg said she does not deal with snake bites and geriatrics. Little surprised by that, but okay. You know, when the next generation gets into geriatrics, it might be a different story.
Yeah. It's good to learn this now then, Meg.
Yes.
You never know.
Jen said she would bring the fireball.
Not sure that would help.
Probably wouldn't help. Yeah, probably wouldn't help.
I think they said avoid drugs or alcohol if you've been bitten.
Probably a good idea. I mean, although, you know, the if you've got some shrooms on you or something, that might help. If you're really far away, if you're really far away from a hospital, you know.
Yeah.
Please don't take any of my advice at all.
None of this is medical advice.
No, none of it's medical advice at all. So, okay. So you're going to get to a hospital quickly, but you're also going to try to keep your heart rate down, which means don't freak out. It's going to be okay.
Go at your ultra running pace, you know, keep that heart rate under 140, you know, preferably under 120 if you can.
Yeah. You know, yeah. So. Keep that heart rate under 120. Yeah. You're what we call the senior shuffle. Keep your senior shuffle moving. What about now? This has happened before. It's happened multiple times before. Out on the Eastern States course, there tends to be a den of babies right next to the course. Is there, are babies worse than adults? And like, are they all going to attack you at once? Are they synchronized? Like synchronized snakes? What happens?
Nope. So the dens, a lot of the females will kind of share a den, and then if they give birth at the same time. So rattlesnakes give live birth. Then you'll see tons of babies around. The babies aren't necessarily any more venomous than the adults. If anything, they might just be they're not as good at handling their venom, I guess, is like controlling it.
Okay.
Because
it's like adults, teenage boys.
Yeah.
They're not as good as at controlling it. Got it. Yeah. Okay.
At least that's one of the theories, but
that's what I've heard.
They're not more venomous by any means than the adults. That's kind of a myth.
What other myths are there with snakes?
Snakes don't chase you.
Oh.
So, you know, you hear about, we don't have cottonmouths in Pennsylvania, but you'll hear about, oh, it chased me. It's like, no, it didn't chase you. It was trying to get away from you. You were probably chasing it.
So snakes don't chase you. Are you supposed to suck the venom out of someone's leg or whatever?
Okay. Nope, that is not advised. It won't really do anything.
Okay.
Pretty much just leave it alone. So if you are bitten by any snake, don't suck the venom out. Don't put a tourniquet. Just if you can, mark the area and then just leave it. Try to keep it, you know, clear from, don't go rubbing it in dirt and stuff, you know, just keep it clean until you get to the hospital.
Don't start poking it.
Don't start poking it. Exactly.
Yeah, got it. Just, okay. Yeah.
Another one I hear all the time is that snakes are measure you up. They don't do that.
Like
measuring up their prey. They don't do that. Mm. That's an old wives' tale.
Okay. They probably don't see us as prey, right?
No, they don't. So, and the snakes we have in Pennsylvania don't really get big enough to even, you know, worry about that.
Could they eat a baby?
I don't even think they could. No.
Okay. And the, like, real quick, let's go through the types of snakes that you have. Cause you've got some like legit snakes. So can you tell us what kind of snake they are and also their names, because they have fun names.
Okay. So I have two Angolan pythons, Angus and Cleopatra. I have a boa constrictor. Her name is Urbosa. I have two rough scale pythons, Marion and Charlie, named after my great aunt and uncle. I have one hognose snake, Squiggles. And then I have five reticulated pythons. Four of them are dwarf reticulated pythons, and one is a mainland. So I have Sterling, Pepe, Sylvia, Saria, Reggie, and Samus.
Okay. So you got some big snakes.
Yes. Samus is currently my largest snake. She is a dwarf reticulated python. She's four years old. And she's about 10 feet long.
Oh boy.
Yep.
Can she eat a baby?
She could eat, she eats rabbits that are big. Like, she could eat a 5 to 10 pound rabbit.
So like a preemie.
See, here's the thing. Reticulated pythons have heat pits, right?
Okay.
And they're actually looking for prey. So rodents have a higher internal temperature than us.
Oh.
So it's closer to like 102 degrees. Mm-hmm. So we have a lower body temperature, so we're not really their favorite prey anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So if we wanted to be their favorite prey,
we should have a fever.
We could have a fever.
Yeah.
Maybe go to a sauna.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wear like a rabbit fur dress.
So when I have a fever, if I don't want to get eaten by a snake, I shouldn't wear my rabbit fur dress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it still probably wouldn't happen, but I mean, that'd be like the worst case.
Just to be on the safe side.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Okay, perfect. These are good tips. So snakes, they're not really excited about us as prey. They are much more interested in Bugs Bunny, cute little adorable rabbits that did nothing wrong.
I mean, they eat other things, birds.
Okay.
Bats, the retics I keep, the dwarf reticulated pythons, they're found on islands where they live in bat caves, and they'll eat bats. So,
wow.
They will eat other snakes sometimes, and sometimes other reptiles, but that depends on the species. Like king cobras, they mostly eat other snakes. So,
wow, that's mean. You gotta eat something though, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing, you do hear about reticulated pythons eating people occasionally in Indonesia, but and there are videos out there of biologists talking about why humans are like the worst prey item for snakes, and it's because of our shoulders. We're very hard to swallow. Yeah.
Okay. So us with big shoulders, like, and I've got big hips too. I think my hips might actually be bigger than my shoulders.
Yeah.
So like hard for a snake to.
It really is. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Any other myths or misunderstandings about snakes?
I think we covered the biggest ones. If anyone in has comments or has another myth they or one that they've heard,
yeah,
I'd be curious to hear. I hear the one about sizing prey up all the time, and they're just not patient enough for that. A lot of them are ambush predators, just like rattlesnakes. You know, they sit in their dens, they wait for a mouse to run by, and then they strike. Same with reticulated pythons. They're mostly ambush predators. They sit and wait, and then when something goes by, they strike. A lot of snakes are like that. Yeah, I think the biggest thing is they're not out to chase you. They're not out to get you. They're not mean. They're not slimy. That's another one I hear. They're not. They're, if you've ever touched a snake, they're actually like very smooth feeling. They're not slimy at all. I think those are the biggest myths I hear. They do a lot for the environment. So I think it's best to respect them. And they eat a lot of rodents. Rodents can carry a lot of diseases, a lot of bad diseases that can be passed to humans. So having snakes around is definitely a good thing. So.
Great. So if we see some snakes, we're going to give them space still.
Yes.
Just in case. But we're not going to let them ruin having fun out in the woods with friends, running out in the woods, hiking out in the woods, because they're going to be okay and we're going to be okay.
Yep.
No reason to be afraid of them. Exactly. Now, where were we driving? World's End?
Yes. Up to High Knob.
Yeah, we were driving to High Knob and there was a snake across the road, which we didn't want the snake to get run over. So I stopped the car so you could move the snake.
Yes.
And that was a black snake. What was that?
That was a timber rattlesnake.
Oh, it was a rattler. Okay.
Yeah.
And you moved it. That's probably not recommended, right?
I would say no. So what I did is I grabbed a very long stick and he was already close to the edge of the road and I just kind of pushed his body off the road.
Yeah.
Because there was a car coming right behind us. Mm-hmm. If you're in that situation, the best thing to do is I would not recommend doing that, but if you can find like a really long stick and push him off, you know, that they're not, but I mean, you saw him, he didn't even react hardly to that. I mean, pushing him off the road.
He didn't really mind being pushed around.
Yeah, because I hate to bother them like that, but in this case, you know, to keep them safe, normally what I would do is kind of keep the car close to it, wait for him to get off the road, and then, you know, but because there was another car coming, grabbing a really long stick and pushing him off was the safest way to handle that.
Yeah. So 9 times out of 10, you're just going to let it go along his way. But, oh, that's another. So another thing that I've heard is I've heard this, but I don't think this is the case. You can tell by the shape of their head if they're poisonous or not.
So that's not true.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would say the rattlesnakes and even copperheads have more angular more angular heads than the non-venomous species we have in Pennsylvania. But from a distance, it can be very hard to tell that. And especially when you have like rat snakes that will kind of mimic rattlesnakes sometimes because they'll shake their tail to scare people off. And if you don't if you're not close enough to see the head shape or see that it doesn't have a rattle, you know, you could think, oh, that's a rattlesnake, when actually it's a rat snake that's, you know, just trying to scare you off, you know. So I wouldn't go by head shape or pupils or anything like that.
Okay. All right. So we're not going to go by that. We're just going to give all snakes space.
Yep. And if you look, and if you're interested, there are a lot of groups. I know there's a lot of Pennsylvania groups. I'm sure if you're listening somewhere else, you can find local reptile identification groups, and you can post pictures and people will comment and they'll let you know. And if you go scroll through, you can learn to pretty easily identify, especially the venomous species in your area. And I think that's really helpful, because then it makes you feel more comfortable being out in the woods, because you can look and see, okay, that looks like a rattlesnake. I'm going to stay a little bit further away than I would if it were a rat snake, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think we're lucky in Pennsylvania, because the snakes we have, the venomous ones, are pretty easy to identify. I think, you know, because rattlesnakes normally do have their rattle, and they are a larger bodied snake, so it's normally pretty mm-hmm. easy to tell. Same with copperheads. I think they're pretty easy to identify. They have that like Hershey kiss pattern on their backs.
Mm.
But sometimes water snakes kind of have that pattern too. So you have to look kind of close. But if you go in those identification groups and look at a bunch of pictures, you can, I think that really helps distinguish between the what's venomous and what's not.
Now, will a non-venomous snake bite? Okay.
They can, sure.
Does that do anything except like, jerk, stop biting me?
Yeah, they don't. The only thing is treat it like any other wound, you know, clean it up, wash it off. I mean, I get bit by my pet snake sometimes. It happens. Normally it's my smaller snakes and I'm just not paying attention, and then they, you know, one will bite. It's rare, but it does happen. I would say I don't worry about the snake bites near as much as I worry about a cat or a dog bite, because the bacteria in cats and dogs' mouths can be a lot more dangerous. So especially cats, if you're bitten by a cat, I would go to the hospital, because you're probably going to need antibiotics.
Wow.
Yeah, they have disgusting mouths. I love my cats, but I had a friend who got put in the emergency room from a cat bite because of the bacteria.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild. Okay, so snakes have pretty clean mouths.
Yeah. I mean, you still want to clean it out, but I like I said, I'd be more worried about a cat or a dog bite.
Okay. They're just not as dirty. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, like if you pick up a garter snake, it's going to try to bite, but it's a garter snake. It's not going to do much. or, you know, like ringneck snakes or water snakes or anything like that.
Okay. Now, if we're going on a trip out west, are there more or different? Is it a different level? Like, I feel like there's a bigger level of danger out there. I remember being with Jason. We were in Arizona. And we were walking around the desert and we were like, you know, we're kind of far away from everything and pretty sure there's scorpions out here and snakes that are actually dangerous out here. So if we're out west, it's a little scarier, right?
Yeah, I think just because I feel like there's more out west, there's more species out there. And, you know, you have scorpions in Arizona. There's also Gila monsters, which if you get bitten by a Gila monster out in Arizona, I don't know. I just have so many questions.
Okay.
But yeah, I feel like there's just a lot more rattlesnakes out there because the climate is warmer and there's a lot more species out there. They just have a lot more. And I don't know all of the species because there's just so many. They have so many more venomous species out there.
Okay. So desert climate is going to be a little more dangerous than East Coast.
I wouldn't say dangerous. I'd just say they're more prevalent.
Gotcha.
I think where you run into a lot of issues in Arizona and New Mexico are with domesticated animals and rattlesnakes. So when these developments are built, you know, they're encroaching on, you know, wildlife territory, and then dogs are curious, find a rattlesnake. And if you know how dogs are, they like to play with things, then they get bitten. So I think that's a bigger thing. So I do see a lot of people doing training with their dogs to avoid rattlesnakes.
Wow.
Out west. I see that a lot more than I don't think I've ever seen one out here, but I know a lot of my friends out west promote things like that.
Yeah. Kind of like on the East Coast and Midwest, where we encroach on areas where there's a lot of deer, and then there's just an uptick of car accidents with deer because they have nowhere else to go.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And I think on the West Coast, you might be further away from help. It might be harder to get to help.
Yes.
Well, this has been very educational for me, and I think for everybody. We're going to have to do an episode where we're a little more prepared and we ask for questions, because I'm sure there's more questions out there about the different species of creepy crawly things out on the trail. I feel like we need to do a joint episode with you and Jameson, because Jameson knows a lot about bugs.
Yes, and I don't know very much about bugs or the arachnids we have in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So I feel like he can cover the bug side, and you can cover all of the frogs and turtles and snakes that we have on the East Coast, and educate us a little bit so we can feel a little more prepared out on the trails.
Yeah.
So thanks for educating us all today. It was very, I feel like that's a good use of our time with Eric traveling, you know?
Yeah.
We got something accomplished. I think he's going to feel, he's going to be happy with this. So you finished Wild Goose. That was your big A race for the year. What's next on your schedule?
Conquer the Wall in March.
Yay.
And then Heiner 50K in April, and then Ironstone in July.
Nice. That's a great lineup. Now, Conquer the Wall, are you going for 100 miles?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be fun. Conquer the Wall, Heiner, and Ironstone. Great choice of races. What are you doing this weekend?
I have a tattoo appointment.
Do you have more animals or tattoos?
Animals. Yes, animals. Yeah. I don't know how I count my tattoos, because a lot of them are like big. And it's like, do I count it as one tattoo or?
Yeah, you are very, very much tattooed. They're a lot of fun. What are you getting tattooed this weekend?
Continuing on ribs.
Okay. All right.
That's a
can't wait
process.
To see it. Okay. And soon you are going to be running with Jen at the Heron Project.
Yes, I'm running November 8th with Jen. So everybody donate to Jen's run. I'll be up there running. I'm really excited for that. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah. And that's for the Heron Project. Do you want to just give a shout out real quick about what the Heron Project is about?
Yeah, so they help people with addiction get the help they need to get better. So
yay.
I think it's important to do that, because I'm almost 10 months sober now. I didn't use the project, but I think I know how important having resources is, and I think it's great that there are groups out there doing that. So definitely donate if you can. And if not, share it. Jen has a post. I have a post on my Facebook. I'm going to post it again. So yeah.
Fabulous. And congratulations on almost 10 months sober. That's exciting. Yay. Yeah. You're getting through all of the holidays and all of those challenges. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yep.
All right, now you have to ask me what I'm doing this weekend.
Oh, what are you doing this weekend?
Thanks, guest co-host. I am headed to Call the Wilds on Sunday, and I was kind of stressing out about Call of the Wilds because I know it's a very, very difficult 50K. It's in Pennsylvania. It's called Call of the Wilds because it is in a section of Pennsylvania called, quote unquote, the Wilds. So it's the Wilds of Pennsylvania. It's very tough 50K. It's treacherous. And I was feeling very intimidated. And then I looked at some elevation profiles. I also looked at how many friends I know are going to be there. And it just looks like, you know, I'm going to go, I'm going to have fun, and I'm going to try to do my best. So I'm getting more and more excited because I'm going to see lots of friends at least. That'll be a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's part of the Eastern States course too, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. The beginning of it shares the same basic route as the Eastern States course. So I've done that section before. And I think that's why I'm feeling intimidated by it, because I've done that section a couple of times and I know what to expect and I know how hard it is. And it's been a hot minute since I've done a really hard 50K like that. It's been a little bit. So that's okay. I'm going to get through it.
Yep, you will. And you're going to have fun.
Yeah. I'm going to find a way to have fun. It'll be good. I'll see so many friends beforehand. And I'm going to try to finish before they take down the finish line. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show, Gina, especially at last minute.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Yay. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back next week. I don't know. I think I know who we're gonna have as our guest. But look for it on our Facebook page. We'll be revealing that very soon. Tune in every Monday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. And come join in the chat or check us out afterwards on the Spotify's and the Apples and all of that. And subscribe to the YouTube channel and like us on Facebook, like us on Instagram. And leave us a review. I haven't seen reviews recently. I think we're about due, especially between the high quality of last week's episode was really good with Eric talking about his race, and with this week learning all about snakes. I feel like we need a great review on there. So leave us a review and I will read it on the show. Thank you, co-host Gina. You're amazing. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Bye.